this is coming right down to the wire because even if a deal is announced, putting it in, you know, it's got to go here in the House, got to go to the Rules Committee, got to come back with a bill, got to pass the bill after extensive debate. It's got to go to the Senate. The Senate's got to pass the identical bill or we're, you know, fooling with it, and it's got to get to the president's desk. Whether we can do all of that between now and midnight is very dubious.
I have to ask. Our understanding is that lawmakers are going to be going on that scheduled two-week spring break come April 18th. Is that still on the books, and is that still something that lawmakers are going to be willing to do if the government shuts down?
Well, the question is whether we're here in Washington or whether we're back home in our districts. My guess is, obviously, if there's a shutdown, we're going to be here until something passes.
My concern is, or our audience's concern is, if you go away for 2 weeks, then no action's going to be happening on the budget, and any furlough might wind up lasting 3 weeks automatically. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I agree with you. I just don't see any way we would go. I would hope we would not go out of session in that eventuality, but hopefully it won't come to that.
You have a large number of federal employees, managers, agencies in your as your constituents. So talk to them right now. Tell them what it is they need to expect over the next few days and even weeks when it comes to these budget negotiations.
You know, you're right about that, Amy. I represent the third largest number of federal employees in the country, and I probably represent the number one or two district in the country in terms of federal contractors. So both communities are very much going to be affected by any kind of federal shutdown. You know, and I think people just need to take prudent measures right now to prepare for that happening. You know, there are so many employees and contractors in so many different agencies and related agencies. It's hard to give just one simple piece of advice, but obviously getting ready financially, knowing that this may be coming and that it may last for a while. The last major shutdown of the federal government, of course, as you know, Amy, was 21 days. Now, people were reimbursed after the fact for their lost wages. It isn't clear that that would be the case this time.
Now, you have a bill that you're co-sponsoring along with Representative Moran and a couple of others from Virginia and I think others from the area surrounding D.C. Tell us about that bill.
Yeah, that bill would do what we did back in 1995 and what we did 2 years ago with a there was a slight blip in terms of paying certain federal employees, that all federal employees who were furloughed would be retroactively reimbursed and have their salaries fully restored. I believe, as a matter of principle, it's not their fault that the government comes to a shutdown, and they ought not to be penalized financially for something they had, you know, nothing to do with. Whether we can persuade a majority of the new Congress to that point of view remains to be seen. But I think as a matter of principle, it's a very important principle, and it's one that previous Republican Congresses have agreed to.
Give me a sense of whether you're optimistic about what's going to be happening over the next, oh, we're down to 12 hours now. I want to hear the happy from you, if I could. If you have any pot of gold at the end of this rainbow.
Amy, I'm always somebody who sees the glass as half full, not half empty. And I do believe that reasonable heads ultimately will prevail. The differences on the funding side are so small now. There is no justification for federal shutdown. Let's get on with it. And with respect to the policy riders, we can all agree to disagree. We can all live to fight another day, but we should not be holding the federal government and the people, the public we serve, hostage to people's, you know, favorite ideological pet. I just think that's wrong. I think it's reckless and irresponsible, and hopefully wiser heads will prevail on that matter.
We're speaking with Virginia Congressman Jerry Connolly. Now, you're early into your second term, so you're still fairly new up there on the Hill. Are you saying to yourself, hey, this isn't what I signed up for?
Well, you know, I was here for 10 years as a staffer on the Senate side, so I'm not entirely new to the institution. And, you know, this is exactly what happened when the Republicans first won the majority 16 years ago. And it almost seems like sort of something they've got to get out of their blood. But it is very dangerous, and it harms people. And frankly, a shutdown will cost us money, not save us money. And in terms of the disruption, in terms of lost investments that will have to be let go and so forth. So I just think I think that the wiser course here is to stay and fight. I'm glad I'm here pressing that point of view that we cannot afford a shutdown. It's the wrong thing to do, and it will hurt the economy, and it will hurt the public we serve. So having those voices here, I think, is very important, and I'm privileged to be one of them.
And just putting on the thinking cap for the future, right after this, you're going to have to take up the 2012 budget, and there are two proposals, that of the administration and that of your budget director, Paul Ryan, from the House, which is almost from a different planet. What do you see in terms of any ability to reconcile those two points of view in the coming few months?
Well, I think this fight is a prelude, a warm-up to that fight. And you've got the debt ceiling vote, and then, as you correctly say, Tom, we've got the whole debate and vote on the adoption of a budget. You know, you have a clash of very different values, and it remains to be seen. But I think this is going to be a fight for the soul of America, really. What is our philosophy about the role of the federal government? What is our philosophy about what our responsibilities are to our senior population with respect to both Social Security, income, maintenance, and health care? What is our view about the role of those who are well off and their obligations to help shoulder some of the burden? What is our view about the relationship between, you know, taxation and the level of services we provide as a government? And that's a healthy debate to have. It may indeed be an essential debate to have every generation. And so I welcome having that debate, but I think the stakes could not be higher.